We have taken a short break from our studies in the book of Joshua, and we are having a couple of sermons on a different line. And to that end, today I read to you two very brief texts. I am preaching topically, which, as you know, is not my, by far is not my standard method, but I do not believe it is a wrong method, and I sometimes preach topically. And so for the topic today, I give to you two scriptures. You already have your finger in both places, Philippians 4, 12 and 13, and John 15, verse 4 and 5, and I will read them in the opposite order. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. The Lord Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." And then Philippians chapter 4, however, we find these words in verse 12 and 13. "I know," the apostle said to the church at Philippi, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." God, our heavenly enabler. Somewhere around 1859, somewhere right around that date, it's not exact sure where, what, but somewhere around 1859, a congregational minister in Connecticut named Horace Bushnell preached a message from Luke chapter 9 verse 13 entitled "Our Duty Not Measured by Our Ability." I printed that message off this week and read it in its entirety. It was referred to by another commentator I was studying. Duty not measured by our ability. While I have no interest in preaching that man's message, this morning, I was smitten in reading it with the thought that I hope to press on our hearts here today. A similar and yet somewhat different message from what Pastor Bushnell brought. I want to show you in the scriptures that it is our God's normal method, and of course, I put that word "normal" in quotation marks. It seems almost somehow inappropriate to refer to anything pertaining to our God as normal, but you understand the context in which I'm using it, and so I will use it, albeit in quotes. I want to show you in the scriptures that it is our God's normal method to demand of men what they cannot perform, and then to himself furnish all that's needed to enable that performance. In short, I put it to you, our God is the God who enables. Now, I realize that in our modern usage of this term, enable or enabler, unfortunately, in modern usage, this term has taken on something of a negative connotation, which is unfortunate. But Mr. Webster sets us right in his 1828 dictionary definition of this grand old English word when he tells us that it means to supply power, to supply means, or to furnish with legal authority. Dear old Webster defines it as supplying power, means, or legal authority. And in that grand old English definition of the word, what greater truth can be said than this? Our God is the God who enables. Surely, all of these, supply power, supply means, furnish legal authority, all of these are apt descriptions of the work of our God in his dealings with his people in their fallen humanity. He is God, our heavenly enabler, as we shall see in the scriptures. First, I will give you examples from the Old Testament of this truth set before us. As early as Exodus chapter 3, we find Moses called of God to do what he clearly testifies he cannot do. Moses is keeping flocks, as you remember in this text, and he sees a burning bush. In verse 10 he says, "Come now therefore, and I'll send thee," the Lord says to from the burning bush there, the Lord says to Moses, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God tells Moses, "You're going to bring my people out. I'm going to send you." But then, as men are wont to do, Moses offers every possible explanation for why he cannot be the right man to do it. First, he tells him, he says boldly to him in verse 11, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I?" And then secondly, in verse 13, he comes back and he says, What am I to tell them is your name? And then he says, "They'll not believe me." Chapter 4 and verse 1. "They're not going to believe me." And then finally, Verse 10, he finally just spits it right out. Verse 10 of chapter 4, and Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I'm slow of speech and of slow tongue." He finally just spits it out and he says, "Lord, I can't do this. I can't talk. I can't do this." Oh, but listen to me. Our God is the God who enables. Look at chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." The Lord comes to Moses, and he gives him a task, which he, by his own testimony, readily adopts the truth that he cannot do it. And God says, "I will enable you." I say to you that our God is the God who demands of us what we cannot do, and then enables us to do what he demands as soon as we begin to obey. Second illustration, again under the Old Testament, Judges chapter 6. You remember the story, Judges chapter 6. God called Gideon to destroy the enemies of Israel. God called Gideon to destroy the enemies of Israel. Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, verse 12, and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." I can't see any way, Lord. I can't see any way. I can't see how it can be. I can't see how I can do it. I can't see how it can happen. Gideon said in verse 15, "Oh my Lord," verse 15, he said unto him, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. I can't do this. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it." Oh, but then in chapter 7 and verse 25, chapter 7 we read, and I skip through the story for sake of time. We find out in the end of the thing that they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the wilderness of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And the long and short of the story is, God enabled them, and victory was won, and Gideon did exactly what God said he would do. Our God is an enabler. God called Gideon to do what he clearly could not do. And then it was, as soon as Gideon began to move, God enabled his victory. Our God, I'm telling you this morning, is an enabler. And it is his normal practice. It is his normal practice, Christian, to ask you to do what you cannot do. And then enable you to do it. Thirdly, go all the way over very quickly. The book of Kings, chapter 17. The Lord sent his prophets. You remember the story. What a wonderful story. Oh, I wish I could just separate it out and preach from it alone. Wonderful story. God sent his prophet down to a little widow in Zarephath. Verse 7 of that chapter. Chapter 17 and verse 7. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, Lord, I can't. Just abbreviating, I read it, but just abbreviating, she said, I can't. As the Lord liveth, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. He said, Bring me a cake, woman. She said, I don't have a cake. But a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son. And then we're going to eat it. And we're going to die. I can't do it. I can't do it. I simply can't do it. Oh, but this morning, our God, I said to you, is a God that enables. Look at verse 13. And Elijah said to her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thou the little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and she did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she, and he, and her house, did he for many days, hallelujah, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of which the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Oh, can I just tell you, our God is an enabler. She said, I can't do it. He said, you just go. You just go. God will enable to do it. Finally, once more in the Old Testament, could I just give you one more? Amos. Oh, that blessed little wonderful, wonderful book of Amos. In the Old Testament, none other than another one of God's prophets, Amos. He testified over in chapter 7 concerning his fitness for the calling that God gave him. Verse 14, Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. I was a herdsman and a gatherer of the sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said, Go prophesy to my people, Israel. I wasn't fit for it. I wasn't able to do it. In fact, I believe Amos is telling us here. I believe Amos was saying, I was the last man. I was the last man anybody would have ever chosen to do this job. I couldn't do it. I never had homiletics in seminary. I never even took speech class in high school. In fact, I never even went to school. I was on the backside of the wilderness when God called my name. Oh, but can I just say to you, oh, Brother Amos, our God is a God who enables. And when Amos immediately set his heart, just set his heart to obey the voice of God, the Lord furnished all his deficiency in such a measure that in chapter 9:7 and verse 10, we're told that Amaziah cried out and said, Amos hath conspired against the house of Israel, and the land is not able to bear his words. Hallelujah. God filled him plumb full of a dictionary. He's out on the backside of nowhere following the herds and gathering fruit. He said, I can't do this. God said, you go. And God enabled him to disturb Israel to the point that Amaziah said, we can't bear this man's words. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to say to you, our God this morning is an enabler. From the Old Testament. But can I just take you to the New? Secondly, in the New Testament we find again, it is our Lord Jesus Christ's normal. And I put it in quotes again. It is our Lord Jesus Christ's normal method to ask of men that for which they have absolutely no ability to do, only to furnish that inability with his ability from his sovereign hand, to enable them in the instant of their obedience to do what they cannot do. Oh, it was right at the beginning again, right at the beginning of his ministry in John chapter 2, that we run into the first instance of it, his normal method of asking men to do what they cannot do. You see, in chapter 2, there's that very familiar scene, and I won't spend a lot of time setting the scene for you, you know it, of the marriage at Canaan. He'd been invited there with his disciples and he'd come with them as a guest to the marriage supper of Canaan. And then they run out of wine, as you remember. The Lord's earthly mother comes to him and says to them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. They came to him, and then we pick the story up at verse 7. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear to the governor of the feast. Now you see, because we know what happened, and because we know the rest of the story, we sometimes miss it. Right here, if you just stop for just a moment, right here. The Lord Jesus tells these servants, fill these water pots with water. And this they can do. But then he tells them in this verse I just read you, now take the wine to the guests, and this is not possible for them. Because all they have is water pots full of water. And he says, now you take that and you serve the finest wine to the guests. They can't serve wine to the guests, can they? They can't. But I'll tell you what they can do. They can obey. And as soon as they obey in chapter and verse 8, in the latter part of verse 8, that little sentence, and they bear it. As soon as they obey, God, the Lord Jesus, does a miracle and turns the water into wine, and God enables them to do what they can't do. Furnish wine to the guests. Not only wine, but good wine. It's called the good wine. Later in verse 10, he has enabled them to do what they can't do. But in Matthew chapter 9, it's a bit more clear. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, we know from this text verse 2, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins forgiven thee. Now, of course, you remember there were certain persons present that did not approve of his words. The scribes, the Bible says and tells us, took exception with his words. And so we get down to verse 4, and the Lord simply says this. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. Oh, hallelujah. But he can't, can he? I mean, he's on a bed with a palsy. He couldn't even get himself there. And the Lord Jesus says, arise out of your bed, sir, and take your bed and go home. He can't do that. Oh, but our God is a God who enables. He did do it. He will do it. He does do it. He arises from his bed and he goes home because the Lord has enabled him. Verse 7, he arose and departed to his house. Hallelujah. Our God is a God who enables. Again in the New Testament, in the same book, chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 10, There's a man in this text which had his hand withered. That's a very powerful word, verse 10. Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. I looked that word up. It's a very powerful word. It means to be dried. It literally means to be parched. And in some places, it's actually used to refer to cooking. To bake something. Cook it. Can you imagine what a man's hand looked like if it was cooked in a stove? That's what his hand looked like. It was withered. And then after another short parley, which I won't read to you this morning, with his enemies, the Lord Jesus says to the man, verse 13, stretch forth thine hand. Oh, hallelujah. But he can't, can he? He can't. Can he? No. He can't. Our God is a God who enables men to do what he's told them to do. And he furnishes the power to do it. Enables. Verse 13. Then he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth. Hallelujah. And it was restored whole like as the other. Oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah. I just wish your heart could know what my heart knows in reading these words this morning. God, in his normal methods, asks men to do what they cannot do, but immediately upon their act of obedience, their will to obey, he enables them to do it. Hallelujah. Enables. But wait. I'll give you just one more. And surely, surely, this is the most impossible demand that ever the Lord Jesus Christ laid on any man in all of his ministry. This is surely the most impossible thing he ever asked any man to do. John chapter 11, you know it well. Lazarus has died. He's dead. The Lord Jesus comes. His funeral's already over. You remember I told you from this text, there's a Greek phraseology here. He's called a four-day man. Four-day man. He's not only dead, he's been dead. The funeral is long since over. In verse 39, they even say of him, Lord, he stinks all this time. If I could just use some Georgia colloquialism, he's real dead. And the Lord Jesus, after an exchange with the family in the home, walks out to the cemetery. And he speaks to Lazarus in the grave. And he says to Lazarus, come forth. Thus when he had thus spoken to the Lord, verse 43, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. But he can't, can he? He's dead. He's dead. He can't come forth. No, no, you're right, friend. You're right. He can't. He can't do it. But our God is a God who enables. Hallelujah. verse 44. He that was dead came forth instantly. By the power that is in that voice, there is the enablement to do what cannot be done. And he comes out. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our God is the great enabler. So I've shown you from the Old Testament. So I've shown you from the New. But thirdly, and finally this morning, I just want to show you, could I just draw as a third point, could I just draw from all this evidence, could I draw from all this evidence a message to any of you under the sound of my voice who are yet without Christ, who are unconverted, could I just tell you this morning what God requires of you? Very quickly, three things. Number one, he requires of you holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There is no question about this in the Bible. God demands of you to be holy. But you can't. You see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 51 and verse 5 that you were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. We read it this morning. The Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that you are altogether dead in your trespasses and sins, and corruption clings to everything you touch and everything you think is polluted. You can't be holy, but God demands you to be holy. But can I tell you this? Can I tell you that our God is a God who enables? Oh, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, hallelujah, the echousia, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're unconverted this morning, believe on his name. I'm charging you right today. Believe on his name. He demands that you be holy, but you can't be holy. But believe on his name, and he will enable you. He will enable you. Secondly, quickly, he demands of you to believe. Oh, listen to it. Acts 16 and verse 29. Yes, he does. Acts 16 verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, sirs, what must we do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. God has commanded you to believe the Lord. But you can't, can you? And some may say, some trembling soul, some heart that's seeking the Lord, but just can't seem to get any peace, get any deliverance, get any surety, says, I know I'm commanded to believe, but I just can't believe. Oh, you're right. Oh, you are so right. You are so right. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Because they're spiritually discern. You can say, I can't believe, I want to believe, but I can't believe. Oh, but can I tell you this? This God to whom you come, He's an enabler. Oh, He can enable you to believe. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. God can give you that gift. What is your place? What is your duty? What is your responsibility? It's your responsibility to just obey. Just obey. Just obey. Believe Him. And in that very moment, God will enable your belief. Romans chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 44, you know it well. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, but I will raise him up in the last day. Oh, here it is. Here it is, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word. Do you hear Him this morning? Are you hearing Him? Can you hear Him? Then believe! And in that instant, our God will enable you to do what you cannot do. You'll believe Him. Hallelujah! Can you hear Him? Then believe it. Thirdly and finally, what does He command you to do? Oh, that's easy. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, He commands you to repent. I started this message, I told you that our God, in His normal method, requires of men to do that which they cannot do. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, times of this ignorance God winked at, but now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Say, I'd like to repent. Oh, I know. But you can't, can you? You can't. You just can't. Oh! You just can't agree with God against your own sins, can you? You just can't. But can I tell you, our God is a God that is an enabler. He will enable you. I've already read you these words, but they're so valuable, I'll read them again to you. John chapter 6 and verse 44. No man can come to me. He knows that. But then he says, except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Don't leave that out. A lot of Arminians quote this verse. They take it completely out of context. They leave that second part of the verse out. But let me tell you, honey, there's no danger. There's no danger. They say He draws men, but they don't come. Oh, there's no danger of that, my friend. If He draws a man, He will raise him up, hallelujah, in the last day. No man comes to the Father except, by me. No man comes, He says, to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You say, I can't repent. Yes. Do you know Him drawing you? Do you sense that He's drawing you? I can't believe. Well, have you heard Him? Are you hearing Him? Do you hear Him? Then believe Him. I can't repent. I know that. But do you sense Him drawing you? Then repent. And He'll enable you. He'll enable you. He'll enable you. Oh, hallelujah. He's an enabler this afternoon, this morning. Maybe afternoon, I don't know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it's given, listen, in the behalf of Christ. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Not only to believe on it. You see, it's given to you. It's given to you to believe on Him, to repent. He'll give you everything that you need. First John chapter 3, verse 23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave His commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him and He in him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. He gives us the Spirit to enable us to do what we can't do. You can't be holy. You can't believe God. You can't repent of your sin. But God is the enabler. He will enable you. If you will once ever set your heart and purpose to obey, just obey. I'll end where I began. In the text for this morning, John chapter 15. If you say to me this morning as an unbelieving soul, if you say to me these words in John 15, 4 and 5. Verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you say to me, without Him, Pastor, I can do nothing. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've thought about it a lot. I've wished many a time I could do it, but I can't do it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely. I don't care what our lying Arminian friends say to you. You're absolutely right. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. But all this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do. I can do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't. If God will enable me, I can do it. He says, believe, you say, I can't. He says, repent, I say, I won't. He says, live, and I can't live, I'm dead. He says, be holy, and I can't be holy. Everything I touch is dirty. So I would just simply admonish you with the words of our Lord to that I read to you out of this Bible, to that man with the withered hand, reach forth thy hand. Just reach forth thy hand. God will enable you. Reach forth thy hand. If the Holy Spirit of God gives you grace and strength to do that, if the Spirit of God has already wrought in your heart, if you're hearing His voice, if you sense His presence and know it, and you feel Him drawing you, if the Spirit of God has already granted you that, just obey. He will enable you. He will enable you. Take Him at His word. Take Him at His word. He will. He is the great enabler. Just obey. Just obey. Saint, whatever he's called on you in these days to do. Many is a time in the dark hour that you cry out, Lord, I can't. I can't. Just reach your hand out. Just reach your living hand out. He will enable you. He will enable you. God, the great enabler.